Are you listening? Are you listening?
Are you listening? Are you listening?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
yo. Hey, welcome to Lentil Community Radio.
Welcome to Lentil Community Radio.
Welcome indeed. My name is Lotus Green and I'm on deck here with Brother B.
Brother B, Brother Sister B. H, the Lotus Green.
Absolutely. We're hanging out and we're going to be bringing you some of the most amazing people and performers.
Down with the new sound coming out from Lentil Community Radio.
Absolutely.
We're highlighting some of our friends, colleagues, loved ones, brothers, sisters, cousins, and high beings.
Yeah, and you as well while you're listening, definitely. So we're actually here to really elaborate on our community. Yeah. What do you think of our community, Brother Bo?
What do I think about our community? Well, where do I begin about how I feel about our community?
You can give us a grunt if you like.
A grunt. Just like that.
Or just a yell. Oh, come on, you feel better about our community than that.
I'm sure I do, actually. Once somebody lets you let it out, you want to let it all out.
Yeah, we're letting everything out today.
Can you give me a bit of a grunt?
That's what I think of our beautiful community.
The tiger is five. Sister H, what is Lentil Community Radio about?
Oh, well, it's about conscience.
Conscience. The con science.
Yes.
Yeah.
The con science of everything. And it's about humanity, I think.
Mm.
More than anything, it's about humanity.
Mm. It's about connecting us all, making us all understand each other.
Absolutely. And it's about feeding.
Mm.
It's about mass, like feeding.
Yeah.
Carnivorous type eating.
Carnivorous type eating. Feeding.
Feeding and just going for it.
Those souls that are out there yearning for a little bit more culture and sustenance in their life, isn't it?
Absolutely.
That's
So that's what we're here to do. We're actually going to feed the soul. We're going to learn how, and through the exposure of all of these marvelous talents we have in our community, how it is that we're doing all the right things to our souls.
Mm, and I'm always up for a little bit of exposure.
We know that. That's why he's on radio.
Thank God you can see what's going on now.
Who have we got on the show, Brother Bo, please?
Oh, look, we've got a fantastic lineup of amazing artists and speakers and musicians. And it's really hard for me to just pick the first name because they all have such a great influence in both of our lives, and they have an amazing impact on what they're doing in the community. We've got an interview with Julian Poulsen and Justin Foster speaking.
Who are they? Oh, yes, of course.
They've written, Julian's written a feature script for a film that he's looking to get produced and have running rock and roll style, which is called Convict Cannibal Pierce, set down in Tasmania, about eight convicts back in the 1820s who escaped from a penal settlement, a colony.
The penal colony,
the penal colony.
Very masculine, I guess that's why the character's male.
Well, yeah, it is. They are quite masculine. Well, most
I'm being silly. Of course I know who Julian Poulsen is. I'm awestruck by this man.
Yeah.
And he's, I mean, you know, I went to the screenplay reading and I was taken.
Blown
and I think
away.
He's an absolute genius.
He's a highly talented and he's got a lot of fingers in different pies, and he's very good at all those fingers. I don't know how he keeps them cool because, you know, those pies are pretty hot.
I know, but he probably does the Palmolive trick.
The Palmolive trick?
Yeah, just dipping his fingers in. We're getting a bit too
That might be a bit too far out for some of our listeners here today. But that reading was really good too.
Yes.
Actually, like, there was 15 readers, 15 of Melbourne's top actors and readers that came together to read his piece and gave it such a voice, an outstanding beginning for Julian. I was just blown. I was riding on a high for a week after that, and I think Julian is still too, and he's about to head down to Tassie to do some research for the film, and, you know, it's all seemed to be fit into place for the man. So I'm sure you'll be blown away with the interview that Lotus and I have put together.
Yes, indeed.
And who have you got on?
Oh, I've got the beautiful Ani on fire.
Oh,
she's on fire, right? And she came into the studio and played live and blew us all out. Yeah, and so she's going to be, you know, you'll hear a little bit of her sound, which is very humanistic based. She's a singer-songwriter, and locally, you know, she works at Lentils.
She does work at Lentils.
She cooks. She's made us famous for the singing cook.
She looks marvellous in her apron.
Oh, yes. She wears it very well, that girl.
Yes.
Yeah. She doesn't often put herself on fire, but when she does,
she burns the house down.
Oh, yeah. Lots of flames coming out of that
girl. It's like wick-aired.
Oh, yeah, wick-aired.
Let's keep those ones out of it from now on, eh?
Anyway, so you hear a little bit of a live performance from beautiful Honey.
And she was wearing red that day too, wasn't she?
She was on fire.
She was red and on fire.
There you go.
Meow.
And we have the beautiful Lizard Lady coming in.
Oh, Lizard Lady.
Yes.
Isn't she just marvellous?
She's a treasure.
Learn something new every time we bump into her.
Totally.
Something new.
Yeah, and I think this is the thing. I mean, my thing is for giving, you know, our elders, our respected elders, their position in our community, you know.
Yeah.
And she's definitely one of my guiding elders, and I owe many of my knowledge from her. And
And I think that's probably one thing that our community really lacks at the moment is a respect for the elders. I mean, they hold the wisdom, they hold the knowledge and the understanding, and just with the way that society is structured at the moment, we seem to be more focused on, you know, youth and the culture of youth and pop and pip
That's
and
it.
Pang and all that kind of crap that really doesn't service our needs like we need from the elders.
It severs from part of them. So if you always just put yourself into the adolescent box, or you always put yourself into whatever box that society requires you to do, then you are going to start kind of cutting ties with very important information that's not going to come from, you know, anywhere except for the wisdom of the elders, who have not only acquired the knowledge, but they've lived through it, they've seen it, they saw it. Do you know what I mean? So I think that it's important for us to start going back to the elders now and getting a little bit of guidance. I mean, yeah, you know, my mum can be really silly sometimes, and, you know, I have the things I've dismissed already that she's taught me, but the other half that's made the foundation of the soul of who I am, because of her wisdom, I could never, ever, you know, lobotomize that out of myself, and I can only recognize it and say, wow, you know, I do respect. And I think that's what we need to do. We've got to go back into the community, find the elders, spend a day with your granny, sit down and find out what happened, you know?
Yeah, it strengthens your bones so your feet can hold firmly onto the ground.
That's it.
And then we can reach for the stars.
Oh, yeah, that's what we need to be doing. Mm. And that's what Lizard Lady, I guess, came in and told us a little bit about as well, which is the Indigenous people. And by the way, we do thank the Bunurong
people. The Bunurong people, yeah. We've got to give a big acknowledgement out to the traditional owners of this land, the people who walked it first.
Absolutely, and also, of course, thanks to the Earth Spirit for letting us be here.
Yeah.
And having this vibe. Not only that, who else have we got, Brother Bo? I mean,
well,
this show's jam-packed.
It's jam-packed. It's just like a big sandwich that's full of jam.
Yeah.
Jam.
Yeah.
It's dribbling down our chins.
Yeah, and it's got like real fruit bits in it as well.
You've got jam on your
top.
Oh,
sorry, I've got jam on my top.
You've got jam on your top.
Give it a bit of a lick.
Yeah, oh, it's
it's
dribbled all the way down to my feet, and I've got toe jam.
Okay, so we're getting into the absurdist part again, but we can't help it.
We can't help it. Well, we've got religious talk with who else? Nobody else. The nunnery himself. He's not the father, he's the nunnery.
He's the nunnery.
Shanika Fernando.
Yeah. Not only that, he brought Gordon.
Tag teaming up with Gordon. Yeah.
Yeah, Gordon. Right.
What are they talking about again?
Well, they're just talking about anything that's religious, really. And if you guys really need to find out anything about religion and stuff like that, you just email us.
Email us, because Shanika is speaking with God.
Yes.
God.
All the time.
God.
He's so close to God.
He is.
He's the closest to God. And you can and God can answer your questions about anything.
Anything.
Yeah, so you can do that on the Lentil website, which is lentil@anything@hotmail.com.
Lentil at anything.
Lentil as anything.
Lentil as anything.
Yes, at hotmail.com.
Oh, at hotmail.com.
Yeah.
Well, that's the email.
Yeah.
But we got a website.
Oh, yeah, we do too.
Do we?
Yes.
Somewhere.
Lentil as anything.
I put it here somewhere, but...
Well, lentilasanything.com.
Lentilasanything.com. Or look it up on Google. Google.
Yeah. But anyway, we love to receive your email, so if you want to do that, you certainly are welcome to do that.
Just send us an email and tell us how good we are.
Yeah,
that's good. We kind of always like that.
We do.
Hey, and to top off our lineup, who have we got in?
We have beautiful Peter with health, nutrition and poetry.
Health, nutrition and poetry.
That's it. All the stuff that's good for the soul as well.
Yeah.
So we're going to get her to come in and give us a few recipes here and there, talk a little bit about what you can do to your body, Ayurvedic foods and stuff.
Good soulful dishing up.
And throw a little bit of poetry in there as well.
Poetry.
Why not?
You've got to throw a bit of poetry around. You know, I was in a bar the other night and I was speaking with this guy, and he believed that poetry was for children.
Oh.
Now, I just think, my friend, I really have to disagree with you there, and I'm going to push you and prod you, if you hear this radio program, to make you write poetry, to get out of your lifestyle of thinking that poetry isn't for you.
Okay, now another thing that Lentil Radio is all about as well is that we're going to focus a little bit on radio plays.
Yeah.
And of course, the St. Kilda's Writer Group.
So St. Kilda Writers Festival.
Thank you very much. Coming up next year.
It's coming up next year in April. And, well, look, I'm just getting into the programming with the co-director, Alison Bicknell, who's sensational. She helps keep me grounded and makes things a little bit more sensible sometimes, which is always good.
We always need that.
Hey, I forgot to mention that I also had an interview with Anthony Breslin.
Yes.
One of St. Kilda's most celebrated artists, I would like to say, but he should be celebrated even more, like all of our artists and cultural instigators.
For sure.
Anthony and I sat in the cafe and we drank coffee and ate baked beans
and
together.
And we shook together.
Oh, we shook.
Like your hands shaking from all the caffeine anticipation. And you just shook
people,
at the same time.
We were shaking.
I like it when things shake. Now. Even jelly shakes.
Yep,
like
jelly shakes.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
Jelly and jam in my toe, man.
Shaken.
Shaken wish. Shaken out of here. Yeah. Love, laugh, dance, floss, drink water.
We're coming back to you pretty soon. Don't go anywhere.
Bye now.
Take this up.
Meow.
I'm Flavor of the day, so sweet, it sent me in my bloodstream and around again. My mouth watered and eyes smiled. My stomach dropped and they all screamed for more and more. Continuing to change my way, more sugars dissolved down the gullet and surrendered at the membrane. Captured by carriers and transformed into suits, simple, light, shuttled into muscles to fewer fire of action and protect the store of fat. The sweetness lingers on. The heart rate rises, ba-doof, ba-doof, ba-doof. Adrenaline release to kickstart turbo engines. I'm manic, shaking, talking, dancing, shouting, more, more, more. Moving so fast I didn't see the wall, flat on my face. The day had changed to another way. I sat numb, apathetic, scrambled. Sugar withdrawal.
I'm hungry. I'm hungry. Oh, Peter.
Oh, Peter.
You're all addicts.
Oh, yes, we are. We're all addicted.
Enough sugar. Enough sugar. Everything is sweet.
Alex is addicted to coffee.
And sugar.
And sugar, too.
He's addicted to life in the fast lane.
Oh, wow.
What's wrong with life in the fast lane?
There's life in the quality lane.
What's that?
Where do I find the quality lane?
Yeah.
In health, in happiness, in food, in how you cook your food, what you give your food, how your food tastes.
Because it's all about what you eat.
It's all about what you eat. It's all about how you taste your food. Six tastes.
What is that?
To tantalize your mind, your belly, your fire.
And what are the six tastes?
Sweet, sour, salty, pungent, bitter, and astringent.
Uh-huh.
Astringent you'll find in the banana.
A banana.
Okay. Yeah.
It's full of potassium.
Astringent. Green bananas.
Uh-huh. Mm. Oh, yum.
Pungent is in garlic and ginger. Sweet. We know where sweetness comes from. But fruit, lots of fruit. Dates. Dates are the sweetest of all.
Oh. Mm, yeah, I had a real sweet date last night.
Oh. We all want more.
We know why he's on radio.
Well,
anyway.
Well, I'm still asking that question, why am I on the radio?
It was the date. Change your life, eat date.
Yes, absolutely.
Eat date. And then dance around in a circle because your day will it just turn your day magic.
So you're on a date.
Yeah, we're always on a date.
You're always on a date. Oh, how good is that? Does that help you go to the toilet as well?
Definitely. You could soak dates in water overnight.
Oh.
And then drink the water the next day if you're having constipation.
Oh, this is really good to know about this kind of stuff. And how about turmeric? Is that anesthetic?
Yes.
Oh.
Turmeric, mix it with some water.
Drink water.
No.
On a date?
Turmeric glows on its own. It doesn't need a date.
Oh. So.
Mix turmeric with water and you apply that to any burns. It's incredible for burns. And then drink it for... to relieve pain, headaches.
Heartbreak.
Oh, well, it's just glowing.
And would it help the window pane as well? It might.
It'll fog the window pane.
It might fog the window pane. I wonder what God thinks about that. Oh, God. Anyway, you know, we're talking to Peter, and this segment is actually called Health, Nutrition and Poetry. And just on this note, we're going to kind of fade out and let Peter come on with another piece of her.
What?
Her poetry.
So we're fading out.
Ooh. The sun, source. We are mobile tree-like beings. Being here, being bee. We pass honey from flower to flower, experiencing the wonder to empower. Each tree to leave seeds and nourish the earth of all things we are.
Oh, Peter.
Health. Is happiness, elements, activity, life, taste, and harmony.
Uh-huh. And it's your choice. Of course. Is there a particular name for this type of philosophy on food and life? Is it ayurvedic?
That is a very strong element of Ayurveda. The Ayurveda, they believe if you're healthy, then your mind is light and free to write poetry.
You didn't really intend for that to rhyme, did you?
It was. I think it was the date.
The date did it. Oh,
definitely the date.
I like date. Anyway, so Peter, you're going to be doing as a specialty chef, cook at Lentilus Anything pretty soon. You know, Ayurvedic food, just to kind of give a little bit of something different to our community. But is there a particular recipe that you may want to recommend so that we can all, the listeners can all kind of start up?
All right, a whole food quick fix. You heat up some ghee in a hot pan.
Ghee? What's ghee, Bo?
Ghee.
Ghee.
It's that kind of thing that people do when they go to the snow and they can't afford to get skis.
They ghee instead.
They ghee
along.
Good work. You still get wet.
Stream along the path of unction. Ghee is unctuous.
Oh, unctuous.
It is the oil, oil for the body to lubricate the joints so we can breathe.
We've got to get into unction.
Unctionality.
Cook with unctions. Unctuousness.
Oh.
Ghee. So okay, we're heating...
What is it? Ghee? Okay.
Clarify butter.
Not snow, after all.
No. When are we going to do the... Cows don't like snow.
He's all about it. I want to do something with snow. Thank you very much. Snow. Yeah, me too.
When turmeric turns white.
Oh, when pigs are dying, I guess. Okay, so you're heating up ghee.
We're heating up ghee. So it's really hot, and we put in mustard seeds, and they must pop.
Oh.
And then we add coriander seeds and cumin.
Oh.
For 10 seconds, let them broil in oil.
Oh.
And then add the onion with the grated ginger, and fry it till it's very soft. Then tomato and garlic.
Oh, yum.
And toss and toss.
Oh.
And add a sprinkling of turmeric and spicy powders.
Spicy powders? What kind of spicy powders? Anything spicy you get.
Talcum.
There's your white.
White turmeric, yeah.
There we go. They found the white turmeric. Next show will be with snow.
It'll be the snow show.
The cooking snow show.
Fantastic.
All right.
Life is poetry, isn't it?
So then we add red lentils and basmati rice. And enough water to cover the pot and a half, or that amount and a half more, and let it boil and simmer, and maybe sing a song and dance about for 20 minutes, and then it's all ready for you to eat. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you know, with the red lentils, right?
Yes.
What if there are no words on it?
That's mental. That's totally mental.
Yeah, lentils lose their are colour not anyway. Mental. Doesn't stay red for much longer. For very long.
Look, I'm being an unctional type of person, and I just want to know.
Very greasy. What do you want to know?
Huh?
What do you want to know?
What do I want to know?
How easy is it?
What makes you think I want to know something now? I wanted to know something before.
But how about ghee?
Ghee.
Yeah, cows go ghee.
Cows go ghee?
Yeah. Cows go ghee, definitely. Ghee.
It wouldn't be any good for the vegans, then, would it?
Thank God.
Thank Gordon.
Thank Gordon. He'd be very proud of us. Don't forget, you guys, you are what you eat. You can hang out with Peter.
All right. And I'm going to leave you with change in your life. To be another way, we are what we eat. Food fashions feelings for fresh openings. Fruit fuels a lasting peak with oats, not goats, and mental lentils. Change your day. Eat originally.
Corner lying again. Just heard about another one of my niggas dying again. I'm told you I heard the music. Traveling back, busting shots at before Christ was persecuted. Mathematically, we live at right angles. Fuck the stars, fling over, make it the fallen angels angling from moon crescent. I persevere, breathe the air, held the effervescence of life. This beat game is stifling, I'm trifling, I'm holding a rifle, peering from behind the eyes of God. We at odds with ourselves, what is it worth in this? Very metropolis prevails, scale the walls of hell. Trell of an octopus, trell of an octopus, trell of an octopus, trell of an octopus.
Faces in all places. Crack sales rise, real live cops and robbing car chases. Y2K fuck up, get left faceless. Hustlers for every money and Garsha Vegas cigar cases. Give the drummer some piano, guitar, basses, trumpet and tune. Pharaoh and Prince, legitimate reason to why they dump it. High up the most is dangerous species. By all means, survival is what I teach these. First time I've been this catching 7 to 15. Now my vision of life is hell and heaven on split screen. Bush your shit like Mitch Green. Snitch, I switch scenes. Bring drama to that ass, that's how we ordin' it, queen. Front, straight bullets continue shattering dreams. Battlements please, I'm gathering schemes. Head only green, just spasm fiend. Take food from a table and get drugs to your death. And I feel it in your heart from the love in my breath.
I've seen it all through the eyes of a needle. Completion of the planet, brainwash of the people.
Challenge. Meditation, meditation, concentration. I don't want lost sensation. It's all through generation, customs and imitation. Trust, it's a daily operation. With my child, I want listen, some kind of registration. And I must be a member of the Greek with federation. I guess I'm all incest, but that's an imitation. Charge them, why for misinformation? A daily violation of this information, there will be incarceration. And we know what a broker explanation. If you're selling imitation, it might be incarceration. Plus, you might be sensation. Yeah. Monday, but a little peace by Tuesday. Stole a little peace on Wednesday, still up on Thursday, a Friday, a Saturday, with 3 grand for Sunday. But a knock on Monday, but a little peace by Tuesday. Stole a water butter on Wednesday, still up on Thursday, a Friday, a Saturday, with 3 grand for Sunday.
Welcome to Religious Talks. Yes, this is the spot where we discuss all things religious, the purity of religion, the impurity of the atheists and the agnostics and the walking sticks as well. Oh dear, we're going to try and leave out the puns. This is a bit of a affliction I tend to have. Yes, so my name is Shanika, and I grew up in Sri Lanka. I didn't grow up that much. I'm only 5'6", or maybe 7 on good days. And I studied in a Buddhist school for about 10 years of my life, and I had a mother who was an Irish Catholic, so we were quite incongruous at the dinner table, not knowing which god to pray to, and so we instead listened to Bing Crosby and pretended. So the religious foundations that I experienced in my upbringing was quite weird. So that weirdity and has translated into a form of absurdity, and it's found its innocence and purity through this absurdity. And I would like to recall the times when my Buddhist teachers would try to indoctrinate me with meditative jargon and spills about equanimity and how to be relaxed and detached and not to get distracted by the material world and its lures that are seedy and illusionary. And then my mother would say, "Come, son, embrace life. And you know, this is why God gave you life, and it's to be embraced and revel in it." And I used to be quite confused because I used to go to the Catholic Church on Good Fridays, and I used to hear the Catholics singing a hymn called "Gently the Cross-Eyed Bear." I was wondering, my gosh, these Catholics are very, very kind to animals, because I thought "Gently the Cross-Eyed Bear" was a bear that was cross-eyed. I didn't know it was about Jesus carrying a cross. Yes, I felt quite silly at the age of 13 when I discovered this. But today I'd like to go back to the origins of the human race, and I know that the Christians argue that the human race began with Adam and Eve. And if life began with Adam and Eve, I'd like to contemplate or discuss some of the challenges we face with this theory, and then we have the scientists to say that life began with a big bang. And I was sitting up at night wondering, is there some way we can combine these two theories, the Catholic creationist theories of, there was one man and one woman, Adam and Eve, and the scientists saying, no, it began with a big bang. So then I thought, okay, how about this? If life began with Adam and Eve, and then they had two sons, Cain and Abel, wouldn't the sons have had to have, at some stage, had sex with the mother to propagate the race? And wouldn't that be incestuous? And I thought, perhaps our beginnings cannot have such a seedy and impure platform. And I thought, maybe it is possible that God created Adam and several women, and the race began when Adam suddenly got attracted to all these women and they had a mass orgy, which was the real Big Bang, or it was really a big gangbang, but the scientists weren't comfortable using such crass language, so they called it the Big Bang and left out the gang bit. And this probably was the proper explanation. Anyway, in order to get to the bottom of this, I thought there's no better person to speak to than the source of all this confusion. And the source of all this confusion I have to blame on one man. And when we don't have answers to questions, we often say God only knows. And I was walking down Blessington Street in St. Kilda, and I met this man, and his surname was Lee, and his first name was Gordon. And so I thought, my God, Gordon Lee. That's where it comes from. Whenever we need an answer to a question, we say, Gordon Lee knows. And here's Gordon Lee, also known as God. Let me introduce you to Gordon. Hello, Gordon. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Shanika. Good afternoon to you. Beautiful, drizzly day in Melbourne with the sun shining.
Yes, I know there's this new phenomena of water falling from the sky. We think it might have been done by the Al-Qaeda, who went to the heavens and perforated it so that this thing happened and gets us wet.
We would have had a downpour of oil, for God's sake. It's not just perspiration.
A downpour of ghee.
A downpour of ghee? Gee whiz.
What about an uprich of ghee?
Maybe it's God's style of Ayurvedic cooking on Mother Earth by pouring ghee all over the earth.
Perhaps I should have said a gentle glow perhaps in the sky. How would you go with a gentle glow in the sky?
We've got too much turmeric in our food. We're all glowing yellow.
I kind of like it because it kind of goes with my eyes.
It goes with its eyes, but it never comes back, Bo. Where does it...
Where you go down the toilet.
Oh.
Let's not get into toilet.
I know. I knew.
This is religion.
Oh, and actually, excuse me.
John Dice.
We're talking to God, by the way. Much respect. Sorry?
So, God, I'd like to know from, I know that you started the whole creation stuff, and rumor has it that you rested on the seventh day. What in particular during your creation did you find most tiring?
I think the fatigue got the better of me sometimes, the memorizing day after day after day after day.
Oh, I hadn't actually thought of that, so the fatigue got you tired.
Yeah.
That seems a fairly practical explanation, and I didn't know that religion was that practical, but I think we should listen to God more often. And perhaps... With this fatigue thing that people confused as tiredness, how did you discover fatigue and what made you create it?
I woke this morning, perhaps maybe like so many other mornings, and someone spoke about being a blues singer. You have to last the pace and go through so much pain in your life. And I got to thinking about pain, and I looked through the window, and it was still a nice day outside. The window pane was clear and decoratively adorned with curtains and blinds.
Words of wisdom from God. When you look through the window pane, it is the hurt in your heart. And this is why we call the window a pane.
Honey on fire.
Honey on fire.
Honey on fire.
Mental Community Radio.
Honey on fire.
Honey on fire.
Now you can only ever be who you are. Sometimes we wish upon a star. Teachers come in many forms. Our reflections sometimes feel different. Trust your friendly soul inside. Let it join, try not to hide. Enjoy the ride. Oh, yeah. Oh, enjoy the ride. Oh. Your intuition is a goddamn force to pull you through, hold no remorse. Embrace the love that fell within. Feel your inside start to ground. Trust your friendly soul inside. Let it join, try not to hide. Trust your friendly soul inside. Oh. Let it shine. Enjoy the ride. Yeah. Oh, enjoy the ride. Oh, yeah. Oh, enjoy the ride. Oh, yeah. No. Thyself, try not to lie. Embrace the love that fell within. And feel your inside start to grin. Oh, you heard me right. Trust your friendly soul inside. Let it join, try not to hide. Your friendly soul inside. Oh, let it shine. Enjoy the ride. No, no, oh, yeah.
Hi, this is Big Mama Joe here. We're down in the Elwood Village and we're speaking to you from the home, and we're looking here today at what we've been up to with the Elwood Primary School. We've been doing flower essences.
Flower essence, that's beautiful.
Yes, if anyone knows about country or welcoming people to country, we do it down here with our flower essences.
Oh, that's gorgeous. And I guess while we're here, we should kind of just say welcome to country. This is Bunurong country here.
That's right. And what we know about Bunurong country is our little corroboree tree down the end of Fitzroy Street. We have little gatherings there every May if you want to catch up and meet the people of the healing the land.
What happens at the gathering?
Often we have people come to speak. We had Ron Murray 1 year. He came down and with his didgeridoo, and hello to the mob there, and a few people from Yorta Yorta people came down, and Carolyn Briggs from the Bunurong country came to speak to the Grasslands Project with John Addy and the children come to plant.
And just for those people who aren't familiar with Bunurong country, where does Bunurong country lie?
We're looking along the coast of Port Phillip, down towards Phillip Island, and then you head down to Wilson's Promontory.
Wow.
It's a long, narrow strip of land.
So right along the coast, in a way, is it?
That's right.
What does Bunurong actually mean? Is there a particular meaning behind it? Or?
Well, Warong means the language group, and Bunurong means the different areas. So we have Wathawarong, Warong, which is down towards Geelong, the Yuyangs, and the Wathawarong and the Bunurong were part of traditional storytelling, where they would come and meet family and come to Elwood for the campsite.
And totem animals of this area.
Yeah.
That's what really interests me. Can you tell me a little bit about totem animals of the Bunurong people?
Well, you know, we have sacred business and secret business, and settlers, what we've been told and the stories that we get to know is about Quack Quack the crow, Quack Quack.
Quack Quack, wow.
Quack Quack.
Oh, I'm sure the kids that you're going to see are familiar with that. Are they familiar with Quack Quack the crow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They learned today about the crow, and they talked about how they've been planting for about the last 6 years, 7 years along the Elwood Canal, and their trips to the Frogs Park over in...
Frogs?
Frogs.
Oh, frogs.
Beep, 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 beep.
Beep, beep, beep.
Sorry, Lizard Lady. We're driving you up the wrong path again.
My reversing frog.
And so what flower essences in the area is kind of prominent for this Bunurong area?
Well, we have the everlasting daisies, the little yellow ones, and we have the banksias. They're for lollipop food when you want to make little lollipop drinks. And
how do you do that?
We get the little flower tips in the times when it's flowering, and we put them in water, and then we can drink the juices, and they're delicious.
Ah, there's so much to know about flower essences, I guess. I think Lizard Lady will be coming in every program on the Lentil Community Radio to actually talk about the different flower essences and give you a little bit more information about that. So it's such a vast area to cover. That's the thing, isn't it? Because there's so many different types.
Yeah, we have different people coming here. We had Ian White from Western Australia. He talked about his flower essences around Australia, and he was wonderful, and his book is really good. And we also have a few other people that do Australian flower essence through the 21st century, and we can look at the grevilleas, we can look at acacias. But it's important when you come to country to ask protection of the great spirits. And when you enter, you go to a flower. Indigenous flowers are very sensitive, so you must touch them very gently, and they can calm yourself for the day. Or you can dress up and put some perfumes on and make your own flower essences out of oils and mix them with other essences if you want, like stone liqueurs.
Stone liqueurs, what's that?
Yeah, you get your crystals, and you've got to cure your crystals. So you can get your different stones, like red bluff years ago was used for makeup, so the ladies would rub the red bluff stone on their hands, and they would paint their faces. And the indigenous woman, the original people of the land, of the Yuluk, Wulumbulluk people, were very decorative, and they used to wear their stones and their crystals, and the men used to bring them from the Yuyangs and spoil them, and they felt like ladies. So you mob out there, dress up and be ladies.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So there was a fair bit of trade that used to go on between the different
Clans.
Clans of different countries.
Mm-hmm. We talk clans and country, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or the trading, which is going on today, really. I mean, look at different places, and they still have memory. And if you can remember the ancestors and take yourself back there, you'll find different meeting spots, like at the Corroboree tree where people gather is really willy-nilly. It's like willy-willy time. It goes a bit wild around St Kilda. And
no, I know that.
Yo, oh, yeah. And it's on the street and it's all happening. And we have Auntie Myrtle, and she looks after the Rainbow Crew. And they're another mob down here that we love to be around.
So tell me, how did you first become to take part in this knowledge?
Being born in Australia, and then when I was 16, I walked around Brunswick, and we had a place called TF Much Borum. It's called Too Fucking Much. And we used to put all, at that time in the 70s was when the young men had to go off to army. So we met a lot of mob that were hanging around, and they didn't want to go off to army. So we used to find little shelters for them and put money together, and we started to know about the way of country then. And then I went up and lived in the Northern Territory in 1975 when the cyclone was there, Cyclone Tracy, and a lot of the mob up there were really good, and we used to get some crown land, we'd plant sunflowers and get out there, and, you know, we'd buy a racehorse for $10 and sort of go out in the paddock and chase a roo, and sort of been in my blood, I suppose, but I love country, you know, get out there in the water lily ponds with the frogs and, you know, be there and just chill out, you know, hip hop and do that and bop till you drop. Go down in Chinatown and just tell people.
Woohoo! This is called the Visit Lady Rap.
Yo!
Any of you beatboxers can do anything about this out there, we need you to come in into the studio, alright? We need some kind of hip hop beatboxing happening.
Yo!
We've got some bees and come some flower essence, and it's just flowering everywhere. Yes. The Visit Lady's going to come and get some.
Alright, thank you very much for the afternoon.
Oh, hi, thank you.
Oh, that was it.
I didn't know we were so bad.
We were, indeed.
We've got plenty of time for that, but at the moment we've got a little lady in there.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. And I guess another thing is you're going to be at the Elwood Primary School for a little while now, kind of getting introducing the kids into this flower essence and the way of the land.
At Ormond Point.
At Ormond Point. So an invitation goes out there to any of the beautiful Indigenous people who might be might have some time and join up in any curry culture.
We would love, and the children are always asking for the knowledge. So please, we are doing this for the children. So get there and be there and come to St Kilda and come down to Lentils and find out more about it.
Yeah, thank you so much. And another thing that we'd like to say too is we acknowledge the country of the Bunurong people.
Thank you,
Lizard Lady.
Thank you, Lizard Lady.
Ecology coming back to you next week.
This is Lentil Radio, and it's feeding the international
community.
Billowing clouds below, she gives thanks just for being alive. Elemental forces fulfill her, and she accepts life in this moment. Everything is in its place. Up here, she is free, detached, alive, energized by this moment of this realization. The universe is within her. She is free. As the night swallows the daylight, shines from an inner place, a knowing within her. Intimacy, she needs to place herself. She needs to place herself. She needs to place herself. Oh yeah. She needs to place herself. She needs to place herself. She needs to place herself. she can be free. As the light ventures deeper within a pressing need to nurture herself, will bring intimacy with she and furthermore being told around her. She needs to please herself. She needs to please herself. She needs to please herself so she can be free. She needs to please herself. She needs to please herself. She needs to please herself. Earthbound, this body aches with growth. Earthbound, this body aches with growth. Earthbound, this body. Earthbound, this body aches with growth. Earthbound, this body aches with growth. Earthbound, this body. She is free.
Hi there, welcome to Lentil Radio, feeding the international community. You're with Bo Savorinos, and this is the St. Kilda Writers Festival section. Today I'm interviewing Julian Poulsen, and we're going to discuss Julian's work in progress called Convict Cannibal Peers. G'day Julian, how are you going?
G'day Bo.
So Julian, tell me a little bit about Convict Cannibal Peers.
The story or what we're doing?
Let's begin with the story. Yeah.
Alexander Pierce is probably one of the most infamous characters in Tasmania's dark past history. He was a convict who escaped with seven others from Sarah Island in 1822 and basically ended up eating them all. But he left behind four confessions. He was caught and... caught the first time, no one believed his story that he'd come through the Tasmanian wilderness and survived by eating his mates. And of course he was returned to the very same prison he'd escaped from the first time and ate the next fella. And yeah, that's the history. It's a fairly sort of small history on Pierce personally, and we know most of his story through the four confessions that he left behind. And the interesting thing about the confessions is that they were given to four different people at very different people at very different points in Pierce's travels, and the story varies. So he's the only person who really knows what happened out there. And for me, it just translates wonderfully into a really powerful feature film. And I guess that's what Convict Cannibal Pierce is about. It's going back and looking at a character whose history is a little bit like the history of Dracula. It's one that's wide open to interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we're certainly looking at telling the story in a very unusual kind of way.
Yeah. And so what kind of process did you go through in regards to writing the script for a feature film? How did you go about it? Where did you start?
Well, being from Tasmania, I guess the Alexander Pierce story has always been like the scary boogeyman in the woods story that you'd hear as a kid. And everybody seems to know a little bit about it, but it's been attractive to me in the sense that it's well known but also well buried. And I was in Tasmania working with my father, a historian. He was putting together a series of convict era stories for publication, and got thinking about it while I was based in East Timor, spending most of my time working for the Truth and Reconciliation Commission out of the Kamarka prison. Mm-hmm. In fact, my office was a small prison cell that had been used for some horrific torturing of inmates. And in fact, it was known as the Malbuta room. And
what does that mean, Malbuta?
Malbuta is brother Buta, a name, and the name was given to the cell after a Falangtil fighter had been shot and thrown in that cell, basically to left there to die from his gunshot wounds.
Mm-hmm.
And all the other prisoners could hear this poor fellow screaming and in agony and basically bleeding to death from his wounds. And so that particular cell was christened Malbuta.
Mm.
Thankfully, the whole place had been given an exorcism by both the Catholic priest and a witch doctor by the time I got there. But it was interesting to be working on material that was all to do with degradation and deprivation of basic human rights. And for me, the whole underscore of our screenplay, Convict Cannibal Pierce, it's a human rights story. And the parallels between the Irish experience of the time of Alexander Pierce, born just before the 1798 rebellion in County Monaghan, Ireland, and the persecution of the Irish at that point, leading to famine, forced displacement from their lands, religious persecution, still goes on today. And the parallels with human rights abuse in Timor, invasion by an occupying force, and especially the sort of you know, prison abuse in places like Guantanamo Bay, Abu Ghraib, mm-hmm. Really connect and parallel the Pierce story. Mm-hmm. Now, in our film, of course, on the surface, Alexander Pierce is a scary fella. He's he becomes increasingly scary as we go, and it is a horror story. It's mm-hmm. a seriously unwell fella with an axe running through the woods, you know, looking for his next bit of tucker. Yeah. You got me thinking it's a cooking show.
It's a but cooking show. Yeah.
Gourmet traveller, that's what we like to call him.
So what's the next step in the script process for you? Where are you looking to take this script, and how are you looking, and what kind of resources do you need to get this script up and happening?
Well, good question, and it's one that I'm going to be working at as we go, and writing it from the distance of East Timor was great, but then actually turning it into a film and asking those very same questions, you know, how the fuck are we going to do this? It's got to be done.
Mm.
It made me determined to come back here and just tap straight into all the talent that's around. Mm. You know, you don't have to walk very far out of your door here to find people that will respond to a good idea, a good creative idea, and get on board. And it's
such examples
as yourself, as everyone sitting here, really. Justin's door was the first one I knocked on, and we'd sort of connected before with a bit of an idea to make a film. I think The aim is to explore along the way and arrive at a sort of, you know, a unique result where once you enter as the audience into this film, you're in its own world. Mm. Asking people to come on board and just planting the sort of seed to you know, grow this into the monster that I hope it becomes.
Yeah. Now, Julian, you've also got quite an extensive past in extensive history in music as well.
Yeah, well, it's definitely something that's useful here. Mm. To me, films that I love, filmmakers like Wim Wenders and Jim Jarmusch use soundtracks so well, and we've already been thinking a lot about the soundtrack. I mean, I love westerns, spaghetti westerns. Sergio Leone would often start a film already with the Morricone soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the Pierce story is sort of like it's like an opera, really. And in constructing this film, it's like bringing together all the components that you would need to pull together to conduct a symphony. And it sounds pretty preposterous right now, but it's kind of a crazy. It's definitely a crazy rock opera approach.
Yep.
The sort of image of Pierce that I have is a sort of Charlie Manson type of character who starts out as not a bad kind of bloke, but becomes seriously disturbed as we get through.
Mm.
And in that sense, you know, we follow his sort of mental breakdown and then onto a spiritual sort of journey. Mm. But it's a perfect film for a wonderful soundtrack, and I'm hoping Charlie Owen and Rosie Westbrook and you know, incredibly high caliber musicians who are just, you know, hold in such great regard are going to come on and produce something wonderful. So the score is it's a piece that exists in itself.
Yeah.
You know, like when you see a film like Paris, Texas, it's a wonderful story, but boy, you know, we've all played that record so much, and Neil Young's Dead Man, and you know, the music is the sort of rhythm that drives the whole undertone.
Mm.
And set against the Tasmanian landscape, you know, how can we go wrong? Mm.
Just generate love within yourself. Just generate love. Now, whoever said love was sappy, I only know that it generates that happy feeling within us all. Hear the call and rise above that protective wall of all our past illusions, conditions and fears. We'll smell the flowers, we'll stay in a while. Get naturally high, get off your dial, and walk the long mile. Hey! Sort out the roof through that empty void. Embrace the mountain, climb to the top. Embrace the view, breathe the air. Without a care, be aware and dare. Oh, to observe this life with open arms, open mind there. Just generate love within yourself. Just generate love within yourself. Just generate love within yourself. Along this rocky path, appropriately placed along the way, our strangers with familiar eyes to teach us strands of truth, reality and reflection. If we choose to accept the present or as it is not always as we would like it to be, oh, then we can generate love within ourselves. Just generate love within ourselves. To be hard. Oh yeah, it's by the choices we make and the attitudes that we cling to that determine which direction it is we walk, we talk, we move. Hey, to take responsibility for one's own life, it's just another lesson. Ooh, ask a question, get an answer. Ask another question, be patient while you wait. Oh, you cannot generate love. Just generate love within yourself. Just generate love. Just generate love within yourself. Just generate love within yourself. I generate love within myself. Then share it with the world. 'Cause sharing is caring, and caring is love. Sharing is caring, and caring is love. Sharing is caring, and caring is love. Just generate love. Woo!
Well.
Oh,
Lady
wow.
Green Sister H, how do you feel after that?
My God, arr, arr, the
is how I feel. What a community.
And what a community. For our first Lentil Community Radio, I think we've done really well.
Absolutely, and I'm looking forward to...
a strong and prosperous life ahead for our little community radio station, wherever it may go.
Absolutely, and showcasing everybody and everything that we know in our community.
We're going to touch one and all and everyone.
All right, you heard it. Okay.
You heard it.
Checking out from Lotus Green.
And Brother B, Booyaka.
Bye now.
Bye. Meow. Just...